Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When a person shoots someone, in most cases, the legal system uses a special word to describe the event. Homicide, when the shooting results in death, or attempted homicide when it does not. It sets off a particular process: detectives investigating witnesses, interrogating suspects, evaluating evidence. If there's enough of that, prosecutors take the case to court, connecting crime and perpetrator, and maybe getting justice. But when a police officer shoots someone, even fatally, something different happens. There's a different system at play with different rules, and different words get used, like use of force or officer-involved shooting. The fact of the matter is that police shootings are exceptional cases, and the law treats them that way. In St. Louis, the role of investigating police shootings falls to a special internal unit in the Metropolitan Police Department. It's called the Force Investigative Unit, and it's long been a subject of interest for our first guest today, St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Tony Messenger. Earlier this year, Tony joined our show to talk about this unit, and specifically an internal audit documenting dozens of errors in 50 investigations. At the time, in February, Tony had only portions of the audit. It took 8 months of legal wrangling, but he now has the full audit of the St. Louis Police Department, Force Investigative Unit. And he joins us now to talk about what he's found. Tony Messenger, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Elaine. Good to be here.
So, Tony, the Force Investigative Unit was founded around 2013 or 2014?
Yeah, it actually started getting itself up and operating in 2013. But its first investigations were 10 years ago after the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, when the entire nation was sort of focused on our community in terms of police shootings. Mm-hmm. And the first three Force Investigative Unit investigations in St. Louis were Kajimi Powell, Von Derrett Myers, and Mansur Balbay. Mm-hmm. And that third one, Mansur Balbay, actually plays a role in the release of this Force Investigative Unit audit that I've been trying to get for several months now, actually going back a couple of years, because the attorneys for Balbay's family, who have sued the police department over that shooting, saying that it was an improper shooting that violated his civil rights, they're the ones who actually discovered the existence of this audit and fought to make it public in court. Mm-hmm. And it finally became so about a week ago.
Right. Now, in the introduction, we talked about how many investigations there were. So as far as this audit goes, it covers the details of some 50 police shootings over a roughly four-year period. And again, that is stretching from the unit's founding, 2013, 2014, to 2018. So the reason this audit was created, ostensibly, is what, to put a very fine point on it?
So the police department had determined for some reason that they thought that the former head of that unit, Roger Englehart, who was a lieutenant, was not doing a good job. And so they decided to investigate, and they had three different officers assigned to look into it. And they started taking notes on all of the police shooting investigations. And they found a couple of things. They found multiple flaws that they noted in each of the investigations. Sometimes they couldn't find a report. Sometimes they thought that the wrong investigator was assigned. Sometimes they thought that that witnesses weren't properly interviewed or followed up upon. There were multiple errors that they cited in their report in literally every shooting investigation from 2014 to 2018. They also discovered, or at least accused Englehart of something called double dipping, where he was getting paid by private employers, secondary employers, while he was also getting paid by the police department. And this is something that's happened in the St. Louis Police Department a few times over the years. Mm-hmm. What's fascinating about the audit is they didn't use it to reopen any of those investigations where they found flaws. Instead, they used it to try to fire Roger Englehart, which mm-hmm. they eventually did in 2021. They also used it and turned it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office and told them, you need to file theft charges against Roger Englehart. Well, the U.S. Attorney's Office tried to do that, apparently, but never did. He's never been charged with a crime. They dropped it. And in the meantime, this audit is just sitting out there secretly, you know, known by some members of the police department, but hidden from the public. And also very specifically, hidden from attorneys who have filed lawsuits against the police department in which they're trying to prove that the police department has not properly investigated some of its police shootings. And the city is hiding that document from them actively. And it wasn't until this recent case in which a judge basically called them on it and said, no, you can't do that. You have to give this information to the attorneys filing these lawsuits.
Right. Now, I do want to go back to when we spoke earlier this year, because at that time, you had only pieces of this audit. And even then, those pieces showed that there were numerous errors in the investigations, and not just a few of them, but in all 50 of them. What is it that stands out to you looking at the full audit? You know, what have you learned about this much more complete picture?
So a couple things stand out to me. One, I don't understand why they were hiding it. They hid it from Mr. Englehart. They hid it from attorneys and cases. They hid it from me. I filed a Sunshine Law request for it. They improperly called it a personnel record. Secondly, the other thing, and this is really my biggest takeaway, for an audit that claims to basically look at police shootings and say these were bad investigations, they were incomplete, they didn't have all the proper documentation, this audit is guilty of that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This audit, when you look at all of it, and I've posted it on our website, stltoday.com, when you look at this full audit and you're looking at this going, wait a minute, is this actually a police report? What is this? There's a memo that sort of explains the beginning of the investigation, and then there's a database that shows, some of the errors in each of the 50 cases, and then there's sort of a narrative that appeared to be prepared for some sort of presentation that some police officers were giving about this audit, and there's not a conclusion. There's not a police report, a criminal investigation related to this. It's cobbled together in a way that looks like, well, we kind of want to investigate ourselves, but we don't want to investigate ourselves too completely, because at some point they realized, oh, wow, we've now given some real fodder to the people who are going to end up suing us over these police shootings. So maybe we should just put this away in a box somewhere and not actually do anything. That was my biggest takeaway from this audit, is that it's guilty of that which they were accusing Englehart and his team of doing, which is basically shoddy report writing.
Mm-hmm. So the audit criticizing flawed investigations of police shootings, the audit itself is a flawed investigation. Were you at all expecting to see that, especially given how long it has taken for you to get a look at it?
I kind of was, because when we first talked, several months ago, I had obtained from a source elements of the audit, and it was clear from that it was not written like a standard police report, that this was something different. And that's the problem with this document. In my column that I wrote about it, I quote Mr. Englehart as saying that this audit is whatever the city wants it to be, depending on who they're talking to. Mm-hmm. So when I asked for it, they said it was a personnel record. When Roger asked for it, when he was in a personnel case fighting his firing, they said it was a criminal investigation. When I filed a Sunshine Law request, and when Roger filed a Sunshine Law request asking for the report of the criminal investigation, they said no such report exists. And that's really problematic. That's the city playing hide the ball. And this is fundamentally, I think, the issue that that needs to be the takeaway here. The Force Investigative Unit was invented to increase transparency, mm-hmm. to increase trust in communication with communities that thought, we don't trust the police department to investigate themselves. So they came up with this new unit to do their a separate investigation, almost like an internal affairs department. And yet to say that they were going to publicly publish the results of their investigations, and they did early on.
Right.
The first two or three were made public. They haven't since then. And then they do this investigation to say, oh, it turns out that the FIU wasn't doing a great job, and then they hide that investigation. It takes that concept of improving transparency and police trust in the community, and it just tramples upon it. Mm-hmm. It's done significant damage, particularly when if the police department actually believes that these police shooting investigations were done poorly, why didn't they reopen them? Why didn't they do anything about these so-called mistakes that they found, mm-hmm. other than fire the guy who was in charge of the unit at the time?
Right. So this Force Investigative Unit, you mentioned, it has released full reports, only three of them, none after 2015. Why aren't these reports being released? I mean, what is their...
I haven't gotten an answer from the police department about that. I mean, I asked them when I started reporting about this, why don't you release those anymore? They just have not been made public anymore. They've changed their view as to what the FIU is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we now have a document from the police department that says, boy, we didn't do a good job for 50 of those, you know, police shooting investigations from 2014 to 2018. But we don't know what the police department thinks about its FIU right now. We don't mm-hmm. know if they think they're still doing a good job, what they've done to make changes, whether or not they're – we know they aren't being transparent because we don't see the result of those reports anymore.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Tony Messenger. Tony has been reporting about a recently unsealed audit of the Force Investigative Unit. The unit is part of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, and its role is investigating cases of police shootings and other use of force. Tony, you interviewed Roger Englehart, and again, he's the former police lieutenant who ran the Force Investigative Unit for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. And you mentioned some of the things that he has said. You know, it is whatever it is the city wants, according to the situation. But as far as the investigations, does he defend those, the ones that were done under his leadership?
He does. He does. And you know, it's fascinating that the guy who is the subject of this audit, the primary subject of this audit, and knows that there is critical information in there about him and the team that he led, has been actually fighting to make it public.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started talking to him about it, when I realized the existence of this audit, and I called him and asked him if he knew about it and had a copy of it and all of that, and, you know, he said, hey, I want it to be public too. And I know that it may make me look bad, but I want it to be public. There are definitely some things in there that make him look bad, that question whether or not he was properly managing his team, that question whether or not he was properly working for the taxpayers when the taxpayers were paying him. Some of the mistakes in the audit are, you know, grammatical errors and couldn't find a report. And he says, well, if they just would have looked harder, they would have found it. It was here. It was there. They questioned whether or not he was allowing his people that worked for him to approve reports instead of him approving the reports. But this is part of the problem with keeping this kind of thing private, with hiding it from the public, is Roger's got his point of view, the audit's got its point of view. Let's get them both out there and let people really make a judgment as to whether or not he was doing a bad job or not.
Mm-hmm. And whether that's the point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the point is, if he was doing a bad job, why aren't we reopening these investigations? If they really thought it was that bad, then why aren't we reopening it?
Right.
If this was really just a personnel case that was trumped up to fire him, then why did they call it an FIU audit?
This is one of the many questions, right? Tony, it's taken a lot of time for you to get your hands on this full audit, and St. Louis City has fought in court to keep you away from it. And at one point, a federal judge ordered sanctions against St. Louis City, the city councilor's office. Why was that the case?
Well, this is fascinating. So the federal judge in the case, Judge Shirley Mensa, actually punished the city councilor's office for hiding this document and for basically lying to the attorneys who are representing Mansour Balbay's family, Javad Kazeli and Jack Waldron and Jermaine Wooten and Jim Wersch. And basically, they found out about the audit only because they deposed Roger Englehart and he told them about it. They didn't know about it. They had asked the city for all the documentation that they should give, and this should have been in that, and the city didn't keep it from them. So once that all made its way to the court, the judge was upset at the city councilor's office because they were not playing by the rules. And one of the lawyers, former lawyers for the city councilor's office, doesn't work there anymore, specifically was dishonest with the court and dishonest with the other attorneys in the case and kept that information from the other attorneys. And that's why the judge ordered sanctions. So that other attorney or the city councilor's office, I'm not exactly sure who yet, has to pay some of the attorney's fees in the case. That's the punishment when you're issued sanctions by a judge in a case.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. It's not a good thing for a lawyer to be issued sanctions in a case.
Right.
It basically says, look, you're violating your standard of ethics. You're not playing by the rules of the legal system.
Mm-hmm. Your column quotes attorney Javad Kazeli. He's representing former St. Louis police officer Milton Green. Green was shot by another officer in 2017, and his lawsuit against the city is still ongoing. Tony, you asked Kazeli about this audit. He called it a smoking gun that, quote, shows that the police department did not investigate police shootings properly. Do you agree, Tony? Is this audit a smoking gun? And if so, what is it pointing to?
Well, it's absolutely a smoking gun in the concept of what has to be proven in federal court to keep the city in a case. So normally what happens in a police shooting case is you sue the police officer, you sue the police department, you sue the city. The city ends up getting dropped from the case unless you can prove what's called pattern and practice of failure to investigate properly or failure to supervise its officers. And that's what happened in the Milton Green case. It's what happened in the Balbay case. And it happened because they didn't have this document.
Mm-hmm.
This document proves pattern and practice. It is a document produced by the city that says we have a pattern and practice of doing a really bad job investigating police shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And so every attorney that has a case against the city relating to a police shooting going back however how long in the past and now going forward is going to go into court with a copy of this document and say, according to the city of St. Louis Police Department, to their own document, they have a pattern and practice of failing to properly investigate police shootings. And no judge is going to look at that document and say, well, yeah, that it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is exactly what What it is. It is a document that shows a pattern and practice of failure to investigate police shootings. Now, you can argue whether or not it's a well done document, but that's why the city was hiding it. That's why Javad Kazeli calls it a smoking gun, because it was hid from him and from other attorneys in order to save the city money and to keep the city out of legal cases. Mm-hmm.
Tony Messenger is a columnist at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read his reporting about St. Louis's City Force Investigative Unit in the Post-Dispatch, and we'll have a link to that on our website at stlonair.show. Tony, thanks for coming back to talk with us today.
Thanks for having me, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.